I mean, their game was just one loss. You know, we all know what that is, and we had the mentality that we were going to win game four. You know, we talked about it. We preached it. And, you know, we came out there and didn't stop. They made runs. Of course, they were going to, especially at home. And we just kept fighting, you know, defensively kept locking in, making big-time shots. Chris and Eric and Trevor, guys made big-time shots in that fourth quarter.
It was last night. James Harden.
William.
With a game-high 30. Chris Paul with 27. He was gigantic in the second half of this game. Rockets win by 3. 95-92. We've had some debate this morning about the performance of James Harden. And what I've said was, listen, it was not a perfect game, but given the expectations and the pressure, what he had to do was get his team back in the game in a position to win the game last night.
Yeah.
And they would not have come close to winning that game four without James Harden's sensational performance in the first half, especially in the second quarter, which I think was probably the best quarter, especially given the circumstance and the stakes that he has played in this uniform for the last, let's see, 5.5 years.
No, this is the thing. And we had a caller very early on that was, I would say, polarizing, except it seems like 90% of our listeners agreed with us, 10% agreed with him. We had a caller named Jason who called in, and I think more than anything, just wanted to tear down the notion that James Harden should be MVP. To which I reply, I don't care. Like, for people to claim that James Harden is an imperfect player and that somehow that means that the Rockets can't win a championship, I don't think they understand what they're really saying. What they're really saying is that this team, as composed with James Harden as the alpha dog, can't beat the Golden State Warriors, which is a whole nother conversation. Because you have to remember that in a normal NBA in which the Warriors don't have Kevin Durant, the Rockets are very, very, very championship caliber. And now they're sitting at 2-2. We'll get into more of like the likelihood of them winning this series. But it's like, I don't care. If you think that James Harden isn't as good as LeBron James, no kidding, okay? If you think LeBron James isn't Michael Jordan, okay, I'll give you that point. But it just flat out doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that you are at 2-2 versus the Golden State Warriors right now. It's still, I know the Rockets are favored to win game five.
By one.
They have two home games to the Golden State Warriors, one away game. But this is where the math breaks down, and it's always interesting to me. I would imagine that the Warriors are still favored in Vegas to win the series.
They are favored. I think it's like -170.
If you think about a potential game seven, what you're going to look at is the Rockets probably still playing a very shallow rotation and somewhat beleaguered and bedraggled and tired by the time you face that game seven. And the big, big X factor, even though he's not the greatest player on earth, but it's Andre Iguodala. I hate that Andre Iguodala is that guy, but Andre Iguodala is that guy right now. Is he healthy by game seven or game six?
Or game five.
Yeah.
I have a quote for you by Steph Curry. I would like your initial reaction to this. I don't know if you've seen this. Stephen Curry after game four says, quote, "We have to understand this is now a real playoff type experience." Steph Curry, we have to understand that this is now a real playoff type experience.
Go to hell.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
No, like, really, you didn't understand that when you were making it rain in the third quarter yesterday. Like, all of a sudden, you just got in this zone, this magical, mesmerizing zone of basketball, where even I was tipping the cap as somebody who wanted the Rockets to win. I was talking about how lovely it was. Steph Curry was out there. You're talking about how mesmerizing it was. And now, all of a sudden, when you lose, you realize it's a real series. Shut the hell up.
Right. No, that's exactly it. It's Steph Curry being like, oh, well, now, see, father, we weren't really playing that hard. I apologize. I've shamed my family. We will show up for game five, good father. I'm so sorry. He sounds like a rich kid that got sent off to summer camp and had to sleep on a cot for the first time in his life. And he didn't realize that, like, oh, I'm going to have to just, you know what? I'm going to have to just actually try and get along with the other blokes. That's what I'm going to have to do. Yeah, Steph Curry, no better than Prince William, that fob, fod, fop, whatever it is.
There is no question an arrogance with that team that can obviously drive most every other fan base crazy. And what it probably boils down to is, I don't know that they respect any other team to actually beat them. That they think some teams are kind of fun to play with, the Rockets. Maybe they have fun playing like the Cavaliers with LeBron, and they respect individual players, but they have such a collection of talent, they probably don't think to themselves, another team can actually compete with us. And now they're in a situation, and this is not game one and game two. But this is what the Rockets have been working towards. The benefit of home court advantage is having two of the last three games at home, making this a best 2 out of 3. That was what they were shooting for by playing as well as they did over the 82 games.
I mean, this is the whole thing is, if you want, like, James Harden has flaws as a player, and nobody's ever going to deny that if they've got a brain in their head. But are you going to sit there and tell me that if Kevin Durant had come to the Rockets right now, they wouldn't be favored over the Warriors?
Of course they would be.
Is that like, I mean, is that, I don't understand why, I don't understand how people don't understand simple math at times and just stack up the number of elite players the Warriors have versus the number of elite players the Rockets have. And it wouldn't bother me other than this. If the Rockets manage to pull this off, there's a certain element of people out there that will refuse to acknowledge how great an accomplishment it will be. Like, that's what really bothers me more than anything, is that somehow the Rockets could pull this thing off. And if they did, there would still be dudes out there being like, well, you know, James Harden isn't the perfect player. And it does, you know, and my response is, who cares?
It won't bother you, Seth.
Who gives a damn?
If they win the championship, I promise you it won't bother you.
And
we just go down 45 to Dallas. That whole 2011 NBA Finals is about LeBron choking. They don't give a damn. In
they don't
They're
care.
Still hanging on to it, and they suck.
But it is. Like, if Durant is here right this moment, you're somehow telling me that anybody's going to be complaining about Harden and how he's not the perfect player? It's ridiculous.
I'm not saying that this will happen because the odds are against us, but if the Rockets win this series and go on to win the NBA championship, James Harden's individual season would be one of the greatest seasons in the history of the NBA. Mm. That is an indebatable assertion, because he would have won, most likely, the MVP. His team has won 65 games, and they would have toppled over this Goliath. It would be one of the greatest individual seasons in the history of the National Basketball Association. By the way, let's play that call and have some fun with this. This was Jason who called us in our, I think, like early in the 7 o'clock hour, and he kind of brought us like both angry and sort of down about the performance of James Harden last night. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. I heard you guys talk a little while ago about the only reason that they had a chance to win was because Harden took the game over in the second quarter, but therein lies the biggest issue with James Harden. James Harden calls himself a superstar, calls himself the best scorer on the planet.
He does?
But yet, you heard him say that.
That I'm a superstar?
Yeah, I'm a superstar. That I'm the best scorer on the planet.
All right, continue.
All right, go ahead. Continue.
The best scorer on the planet doesn't engage in the game for a quarter and then check out for a quarter and engage for a quarter and check. He has the mental fortitude of a 16-year-old girl. The fourth quarter, he defers. He stands there and he dribbles the shot clock out.
Here's the thing. Jason, they got to trade him then. They got to trade him. Right now, they just won the biggest playoff game the last 20 years of the franchise. They have to trade him. If he has the mentality of the 16-year-old girl, you better be driving into work this morning and saying they need to trade James Harden. Right now, that's what you have to be saying. You have to be saying that.
Hey, I have a text message that said that last night. I agree with that, because Houston sports fans are going to deal with this over and over and over. They won despite of him last night.
Where was Chris Paul in the first half of the game? Where was Chris Paul in the first half of the game last night? Where was he? Where was he in the game last night? Chris Paul didn't come to play in game three. Nobody talked about it except me. Where was he? Where was he in game three?
Where was Steph Curry in the fourth quarter?
You're missing what I'm saying.
Jason, if the Warriors didn't exist, would the Rockets win the NBA championship with this team? Would they win the title if the Warriors didn't have Kevin Durant, if they didn't exist in the league? Would this team be the best team in the league?
No doubt.
Okay. I mean, that's basically right. What you need to know.
Give me your because that's what it boils down to, is simply, fine, you want to trade away James Harden. This notion that somehow you're going to trade away one of the very best players in the league and do what? I guess trade away James Harden so you can bring in Paul George and LeBron James and hopefully somebody else.
Listen,
I guess retain Chris Paul. Is that feasible? Is that what I'm doing?
I guess so.
And then somehow Paul George, because there's a chance you could get, this is what you have to remember. Somehow, in that guy's mind, Paul George is just as good as James Harden. It must be, because otherwise the only thing you're thinking is that somehow you could trade away James Harden and finagle the way to get both LeBron James and Paul George and then have Chris Paul still around. But that's stupid. That would be dumb. The ideal situation is to have LeBron James, Chris Paul, and James Harden. And there's a way to finagle that. But I don't. Fine. Maybe you think Paul George is better than James Harden.
Here's part of it is that it's Harden's style. It's the way that he plays basketball with the isolation. Because when Russell Westbrook fails in the postseason, really when his team fails in the postseason, he's not going to get much criticism. Because say you will, what you will about Westbrook and some of the questionable shots that he takes. And Westbrook will take so many shots that you're like, an NBA player cannot take this many shots in a game and expect his team to win or expect his teammates to be happy. But Westbrook, without question, plays with such a force and unbelievable ferocity and energy, and he's such a great athlete that it's hard to really criticize him because you know that that dude is completely emptying the tank. But at the same time, he is doing things that are hurting his basketball team that he can change, that he refuses to change. I think Harden, one of the things I give him credit for in some of these moments, and last night's game would count as one, I think Jazz game 5 would count as another, is when you're watching the second half of that game last night, I thought it became very apparent, and Landry and I were watching together at his place, and I thought this is the finish of this game was Chris Paul's game. Mm-hmm. That you just felt like Chris Paul was feeling it. He had taken over in the second half. That was Chris Paul, future Hall of Famer. That was Chris Paul, the point god, as people would say. And that felt like, hey, in that moment, the way the game was going, it was more about Chris Paul. But the one thing I want to also debate real quick, just to make a point, it's not as though Harden didn't pull the trigger. He had two or three big shots in the fourth quarter. They just happened to not go in. But right. He was willing to pull the trigger last night.
No, he certainly was. And I think this, too, is you have to reset where you are right now. And remember that you're playing the Golden State Warriors, a team which, when the trade for Paul was made, when you brought Paul in here, nobody, even the people that thought it was a good move and that it would work out well. Like, I'm on red. Like, I was excited about it. I thought that they would be able to do really, really good things. I didn't care about the ball dominant part because I knew that Chris Paul and James Harden both knew that that was an obstacle that they would have to work through. So I didn't know it'd be quite as glorious as it's been, but I wasn't skeptical that it would work. I still didn't think it would beat the Warriors. So you Agreed. Are still sitting here. You're sitting here with two awesome players and some other nice players going up against a team that has four awesome players and some nice players that are frankly nicer than your nice players. And you're sitting at 2-2. But somehow, it's what? It's James Harden's fault that they're not up 3-1 or that they're not up, that they didn't win in four. I've got a disconnect here. I'm not getting the logic somehow.
Well, this should be interesting. We've got Carl on Mad Radio. Let me see if I can click this button. Landry, you might have, here we go. Finally, it works. Carl, good morning. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, fellas. Seth, don't get mad, but this is not fun, fair, and positive. I mean, you were a pro football player. You were a tough guy. The problem I think the city sees with Harden, I mean, if you look at the heart of those players on that team, CP3, you look at some of these other guys, Gordon and Capella, I mean, they play hard to the whistle. I mean, they play hard. You know, Harden decides when he wants to guard. I mean, like the shot last night that Curry took. I mean, he got screened off, but that was 0.5 seconds left. He got screened off.
No, let him finish.
The shot didn't count.
I just let him finish.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not yelling. I mean, look, I like you guys. You guys are great, but that's what I see, and everybody remembers last year, and I know the guys shouldn't be judged for that, but look, you have to play defense, too. The only thing I
No, okay, now I have to cut you off, though, because honestly, like, listen, I'm not going to disagree with anything you're saying in general or in total or even over the course of the playoffs or what have you. My question is, honestly, why are you calling with that today? Like, did you watch the game last night? I understand the play you're talking about. He had another couple of missteps and bad plays on defense. But largely for the good course of the evening, you saw James Harden, who was engaged on defense, who was fighting. Like, is he the best perimeter defender in the world? Hell no. But he was actually working his butt off. Like, that's why I don't understand calling in today and being like, hey, that was an awesome win last night, but remember everything that James Harden has done in the past. Like, I just don't get that.
I called in the other day and said the same thing.
Right, okay, but what's your point?
Like, good.
But what's your point this morning?
The guy played a lot better. He did play a lot better, but if you want to close this out, this is not about being a bridesmaid. This is about winning it. And you can say they have them, they have Kevin Durant, they have whatever. This goes down to you're the MVP. You need to play like it, and you're going to have to match them with tenacity and nastiness because they're playing that way. Devon Green is, I mean, he's punking them. And last night they got physical.
Wait, again, last night. Okay,
didn't
but
he dunk
like
over?
I don't understand. Like Draymond Green got humiliated physically last night. I don't understand the call today.
I don't get that today.
Like, you can kind of talk about in general what's it going to take. I don't understand calling up today with that take about LeBron James. Like, you know what it is? That's a classic kind of coach or teacher that's like, well, it's about time. Like, they can't even give you a compliment when things go well. Well, not going to pat you on the back for doing what you're supposed to do. Like, I don't get it. I mean, am I in Kooky Town here?
This is why I took Mike's comparison yesterday of James Harden and Peyton Manning, that James Harden could be Peyton Manning light. I just rolled my eyes at it because I very seriously doubt that, despite the fact Peyton Manning time after time after time came up short in the playoffs, I doubt after the Colts won a game in which he struggled in, like, let's even say the Super Bowl when he got MVP, when some people thought Bob Sanders should have got it, I doubt people in Indianapolis were calling in and saying, the Colts won despite Peyton Manning. Despite Peyton Manning, the Colts won. Did you watch the second quarter of yesterday's game? James Harden kept him in that game.
Yes.
He kept him in that game.
They would not have won that game if not for James Harden's great performance in the second quarter of a pivotal game four last night. We'll finish up with a revisitation of Seth Payne's hype for game number four. So that will get you excited for game five tomorrow. Also, I know I keep teasing this. I will pay this off, I promise. I want to take a look at what last night means as far as energy expense and what it's going to mean for game number five tomorrow. We will do that. Mad Radio on a Wednesday on Sports Radio 6.